This is the Bates Bobcast, our weekly podcast where we take a look at the week that was in Bates Athletics. My name is Aaron Morse, and this week we preview the 49th annual Cross Country and Track and Field Alumni Meet with women's head coach Jay Hartshorn. Plus, we get our fall sports previews rolling with women's and men's soccer. That's coming up on the Bates Bobcast. The Bates men's soccer team held the first practice of the year at 7 a.m. last week on Garcelon Field. And on Tuesday, September 7, they'll compete in the first official intercollegiate match for Bates fall sports since 2019, when the Bobcats take on Maine Maritime Academy at 3:30 p.m. on Russell Street Field. Senior captains, defender James Peter, midfielder Owen Kelleher, and forward Alec Schwartzovich join the Bobcast to preview the season. James, we'll start with you. How's that back line looking here? You're a senior captain. You've got some younger goalies behind you, but how's the chemistry going so far?
Things are going great so far. We've had, 6 days of good training so far at preseason. We've got some huge shoes to fill, obviously losing some important players in the back line over the past couple years. But, some of the young guys we really have a lot of trust in, and the goalkeepers are coming along great, and I think we'll be able to work really well so far this season.
There's a lot of competition among the guys because there's obviously only a few spots, right?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, the team is super deep this year, so there's been some great competition in practice so far, and Tyler's going to have some tough choices to make for sure.
What's that depth looking like in the midfield, Owen?
Yeah, we have a lot of depth in the midfield as well, from returning seniors who have seen a lot of minutes there to freshmen who have been on campus for a week. And I think that's really important in the NESCAC, where you have so many games and they're so competitive and intense in such a short period of time. And being able to come off and have somebody replace you, whatever their background may be and whatever experience they might have, being able to trust in them and trust in the fact that they're going to put in a good performance is hugely important.
Great. And let's move up to the forward spot. Alec, how's it looking with you and your teammates up there?
Yeah, it's a really strong group of forwards this year, especially some of the younger guys are extremely talented. And one thing I'll mention about that is obviously with last year being a wash due to COVID, there's a lot less experience in the forward group. So I think kind of some of the impetus is on me to string those guys along and make sure they get up to speed quickly, because those are guys who are going to be extremely impactful for us this year, and we're going to need to score a lot of goals. But definitely a very talented group.
James, I was there the first day of practice, 7 a.m. Right away, Coach Shake puts you guys through a tough conditioning drill there. What's he like as a head coach?
He expects a lot out of us, for sure. But there's a really soft side to Tyler as well that not a lot of people see. He cares a lot about all of us on a much deeper level than just as a soccer player. He makes us all better men. And, like I said, when you come into preseason, Tyler expects you to be fit, be ready to play, and have a good attitude. And so that's all he really expects of us. And, we're really lucky to have him.
And Owen, for those who don't know, I believe Tyler recently recruited you to a different college, right?
Yes, he did. Yeah, Knox College in Illinois. It's where Tyler was before Bates. Recruited me there and then came to Bates before my freshman year. But, yeah, I'm glad that my path did end up crossing again with Coach Shake and that we're at Bates together.
What's the journey been like for you? Obviously, we've talked about this before, but it's been an interesting one, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Freshman year obviously just didn't work out for me. Wasn't as happy as I would have liked to be in Illinois. And my sister went to Bates, and obviously Coach Shea coming here. And just, the background that Bates has, not only with athletics, but also just the academics of it. Maine's obviously a beautiful place to be. And I think that it was a bit of a longer road, and especially COVID kind of threw a twist in that. But I think when you don't have like the most amazing experience, it kind of makes you appreciate the smaller things a little bit more. And so I'm hoping that reflects this season a bit on the field, and that guys kind of have that little bit of extra edge to them because we haven't played a game in about 20 months. And so I think it'll take a second or two to get up to speed, but hopefully we can do that quickly. And once we do, that we use that extra energy that we've been holding up inside for the last year and a half or so since COVID hit.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, last year, the practice season, if you will, what was that like from your perspective, Alec?
Yeah, I think it was difficult for a lot of reasons. I mean, obviously we weren't able to play games, and for a big portion of it, we weren't able to have contact practices either. So we had to get creative with things, and I think one of the things we emphasized a lot was being one of the fittest teams in the country. And you mentioned the fitness test on the first day. We had a number of guys hit scores that weren't even approached last year. So I think that's going to be something this year that's much improved on our team, and kind of stems from how we had to practice last year is improved fitness levels.
James, what are some goals maybe you have set for yourself or the team has set for this season?
Yeah, I mean, get a lot of wins, you know. we had a good season back in 2019, and there's a lot that we can build on still, but, you know, we're looking to make a deep run in the playoffs, so.
And then, Owen, I believe you're familiar with the NCAA tournament. You want to go back, right?
Absolutely. I think one thing that drew a lot of people to Bates, especially in the recent years since Tyler got here, is the ability for us to make history. Bates has never made the NCAA tournament. Can't remember the last time they really won any sort of title, and I think everybody on the team knows that there's an opportunity for us to be the first there, and not just to make the NCAA tournament, but to make a deep run. And I mean, the goal in my mind is to get a trip down to North Carolina, because I think that we are a top team in the nation that deserves a spot there, and there's a long way to go, a lot of games to win, but that's absolutely something that we have marked in the calendar.
And Alec, obviously the team has a ton of talent. We've seen it the past few years, even last year when you didn't have a season, but the NESCAC is very talented as well, right? I mean, it's going to be a battle every match.
Yeah, the NESCAC is an incredibly competitive league. In my opinion, it's the best Division III soccer you're going to find anywhere in the country. And one thing we know, too, is that just like some guys on our team are coming back for additional seasons, guys on other NESCAC teams have done the same thing. So it's only going to be more competitive this year and make it more difficult to win games. We think we're the best we've ever been, but we also know other teams are going to be the best they've ever been. So definitely going to be an exciting season, and we hope we can produce some of those wins for you guys.
The women's soccer team opens its season under the lights on Garcelon Field at 8 p.m. on Tuesday, September 7. Like the men's team, the women's team has a big roster, and head coach Joe Vary is excited to see what his squad can accomplish.
We're certainly really excited, and the fact that being able to be outdoors again, compete, have our whole group together, has been through the roof, and so it's been really, really exciting for that opportunity. A little bit of panic that we're only a week out, but also, like I said, for sure, some excitement.
We've seen the seniors before. We've seen the juniors in their first years here. We haven't seen, though, half your class. We haven't seen the sophomores at all. Yeah. We haven't seen the first years at all. Yeah. Tell us, what can we expect from this younger group?
Yeah, we've been really happy with the younger group. And even though they're really inexperienced, like you said, the sophomores kind of got a year of development without any games. And we did get a couple of scrimmages towards the end there in the spring. So they'd get a little bit of experience in there. So... But yeah, it's been really funny to talk to them, because now we've got two classes that have actually really never been through a fall. And last night we had the team over for dinner at our house, and we were talking about convocation coming up, and the sophomores were like, "What's convocation? Like, we have no idea." And so not only is it some things that on the athletic side of things that they're trying to get used to, you know, there's some things just in campus in general that they're trying to get used to.
How have you seen the upper class student athletes, the seniors and even the juniors, take kind of a leadership role with some of these more inexperienced players who haven't gone through a normal year at Bates?
Yeah, our returning players and the junior and the senior classes that we have been really great. And, so they've really taken the ideas and the thoughts that we've put together and gone forward with it. And they've done a really nice job of including the sophomores in the first years. And even though, you know, the sophomores are here, we're freshmen last year, there's still a big learning curve and trying to figure out names, because we had so many restrictions that, you know, for a while we had to stay in pods. And so, you know, some of the returning players only met some of the sophomores until like their second semester. And so it's been an interesting piece of that. But I've been really, really proud with that group and the way that they've responded and included our group and kind of the direction the program's going.
Obviously, it's a big roster, so a lot of decisions for you to make. But tell us maybe about possible projected starters on the front line, on defense, in the midfield, possibly.
Yeah, big roster for us for sure. And that's a little bit of just carryover over the last couple of years and kind of the transition in pieces and things like that with the program. So you know, we're constantly kind of moving players around, and so our group is really competitive. There's not much difference from top to bottom, and so it's going to be difficult for us to kind of come up, I think, with starting 11, which is a good problem to have. And then I feel like it's going to be something where we're going to have a group consistently competing for starting positions. And, you know, ideally that's what we want. And so that'll hopefully breed a little bit of the competition that we have within our group. And, you know, obviously to survive a NESCAC season in 15 games in, you know, 8 weeks, 9 weeks, whatever it is, that the depth piece is quite vital. And that's going to help us a lot.
Tell us about the senior class, starting with, I guess, the senior goalie Kat Knuckles, who returns. She took a leave last year, and so now she's back. She actually has 3 years of experience under her belt, right?
Yeah, she's the only player that has 3 years of experience on a 33-player roster. Yeah. But no, we're ecstatic to have Kat back, and she's been great for this program, obviously, for all those years. And we're really happy with the direction that she's helping our players out with and continue to navigate and go through things. But again, then, you know, after that, Sophie Matt, Annie Doig, Lauren Barraby, and then you can argue also Courtney Gray. Courtney Gray's kind of in that where she took a year off and is trying to navigate some things also on that. So even though they're like the smallest class that we have on the roster, they bring, I think, the most for us in that sense of things. And, you know, not to take anything away from our younger players as leaders, but that's a good nucleus that's stuck with me and as I've been with the program as well.
And I was at practice the other day. I really saw Elizabeth Patrick taking a leadership role. It seems like as a junior.
Yeah, EP's a spark plug, and is just great energy all the time. And like I said, that the junior class is we've been really happy with the direction that they're going on the leadership piece of things. And so we really believe that, you know, every player on our team is a leader, and we really try and preach that. EP is just one of those ones that's a little bit more comfortable telling people her opinion. But yeah, well, our expectations for a lot of our players to step up in any type of role. So
when you survey the NESCAC, I mean, how close have you paid attention to what other schools have been kind of handling this the last couple of years we've had here?
Yeah, I mean, we're the conference, we're all friendly with the coaches, and the players honestly probably know a lot more than we do, because, you know, they got friends at all these other schools, and you know, so every school's had its hurdles and restrictions in trying to balance and figure that out. So I'm really happy with the opportunity that we had. I feel like it was a really great year of growth for us, even though we did have a lot of those restrictions. But it'll be really interesting to see how many schools have players staying for fifth years and those types of things. And so, but, you know, we're young enough and to the point where we are in the developmental phase. We're just trying to focus on ourselves and really deal with the things that we have in house and go that direction.
You touched on, you did have scrimmages in the spring. I think you scrimmaged Bowdoin, right?
Yeah.
What did you kind of learn from those?
A lot. I think for us, I think the big thing was for that first year class, now our sophomores, to get a little bit of a pace of the speed of things, that just to understand how fast. And then it was also really just good for us as a group to focus on development. So we played at Bowdoin one weekend, and the following weekend we played them at home. And so that gave us a little bit of that routine where we could spend a week in practice focusing on what we wanted to fix and what things we felt we did well. And so I think it was a really good tester. I think also too, it was just a really great piece, and you know, kudos to our administration staff for making that happen. It was really worth it for our players to put in that year of work and then actually get something towards the end. And so that part I was the happiest about.
So a non-conference match coming up a week from Tuesday here.
Yep.
What do you look to see? What are you evaluating in that non-conference match?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's for us, we're going to be tinkering a little bit with our lineup and trying to piece those things together. Maine Maritime Academy is a good club and good school, and you know, they won their conference tournament last year, so you know, they've got a team that's got NCAA tournament experience, so it's going to be a good test for us. But our goal will be, you know, are we taking in the things that we've been focusing here in preseason on the defensive and the offensive side of things? And then I think it also will be an opportunity for us to evaluate for the following weekend when we host Hamilton.
The one against Maine Maritime, if I'm not mistaken, will be under the lights at Garcelon.
Yeah, 8 p.m. Tuesday on Garcelon, yeah.
And so that's interesting because you practice on Garcelon, you practice on Russell Street Field also, but turf and grass, it's big difference for soccer.
Yeah, specifically, it's, up here in Maine, the grass is a little thicker too, so the play is a little slower in that sense of things. But kudos to Scott Lehman and, again, our facility staff. Russell's in great shape. We also have the opportunity to use Leahy a little bit, which is the outfield for the baseball diamond, so we do have some options. But it's hard to replicate the magic of when you're playing right in the middle of campus, and that's the neat part there about Garcelon. And so we're lucky to have those types of facilities because we do have some non-conference games where we play on turf, and so it allows us to kind of flip back and forth and figure it out.
Great. What are your thoughts you wanted to share about the upcoming season that you wanted to talk about?
No, I just want to, reiterate, we're really happy where we are with our group and the growth that they've shown within this past year. And I really think the COVID year was a big silver lining for us where we had an opportunity to focus on ourselves. And, we've really just tried to imprint onto our group what we want to be able to do. But, it was a huge collective lift in that aspect of things. And so, all across the board, not only in our department, but, across the way in sports med, it was a heavy lift to get through last year. And, thanks to all of them to get us to where we are this year.
All right, Joe Varia, looking forward to women's soccer season. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Aaron. Appreciate it.
The cross country teams kick off the fall sports season this Saturday when they host the 49th annual alumni meet at the Russell Street track. Women's head coach Jay Hartshorn previews the meet and gives us a look at her team entering the 2021 season.
Last year was oddly fun because we did it virtually and we had so much participation. And so now we're still actually trying to push the virtual component as well so we can feel like, okay, here's the number of people that came back, but here's the amount of people that are participating virtually for both women and men. So hopefully we'll keep that going and it will be, whether you run here or whether you run something else, is something that you just do as part of your Labor Day weekend.
So you have people email in their results, or how does that work?
Yeah, last year we made a really big deal about it and gave them a whole week and posted pictures and stuff. But now we're just looking mostly for day and time and what year you graduated and that you ran, and we'll compile them and get them all together.
I know folks are registering this year, so you probably have a pretty good idea about who's going to show up.
Yeah, it's different, which is kind of nice to know, here's who's coming. So we have really good numbers so far. We just had another little flurry today, but it will definitely help us plan, especially as we look towards next year with it being the big one.
Right, next year being number 50 overall. But I'm curious, for your team in particular, what's it like for the current student athletes to meet some of the alums for perhaps the first time?
Yeah, and it's usually really fun. We didn't have any of that last year, so it really feels like two sets of first years. Mm-hmm. And which is, if we have about 31 on our team right now, almost 20 are in that first year sophomore group. So it does feel like two-thirds of your team has not had any of these experiences before. So it is nice for them to start getting to know people outside of maybe Instagram and that kind of thing. And we have some of them are a pretty consistent group, of people that come back year after year, and local people as well.
Last week you had your runners out there for their first practice of the year at 6 a.m. Oh, is that typical to have them up and early like that?
It's typical that we chase the weather during preseason. Okay, so I don't know if I'm a morning person either, but when the rest of the day is going to be hot and sticky and yucky, you just do it when it's going to be better. So, but today we just went once at 4.
Gotcha. Yeah, they're actually running right now. In fact, how's the team look so far? I mean, I know you have, Jill Richardson is back, right? And you have some other key runners from Tara Ellard in addition as well. Some of the standouts from previous years, right?
Yeah, so those two definitely were big factors in the team. And then there's a whole nother group that are juniors now that we probably knew freshman year that they were going to, get in and mix it up, as Jillian is also a junior, and people that had good pandemic years that were really fit and running well all year, and those people are still looking good and running well. And then we will have some first years and sophomores definitely factor in. What was really noticeable on Friday when we were out here at 6 a.m. was we have depth, and that's going to be really exciting because it will be, it's not our style to be very competitive with each other, but it will be competitive to get top 7 spots and top 15 spots to go to national, to go to NESCACs for sure.
And I know without getting too into the weeds, it's a little bit different in terms of regions this year, right? Looking forward to the season a little bit.
Yeah, that's, I just kind of read it and I said, okay, we have a different region. I mean, we sort of knew it was maybe happening and then all of a sudden it happened. So it'll be really different, our region this year, to only see a fraction of New England. And we're going to see some really, really good teams in there for sure, which is exciting, but it's going to be different than lining up with 65 teams, which is the reason they did it, was the regions were way too big. But, you know, NESCAC is going to be more special because that will feel like we won't see these teams again unless we make it to nationals, because most of the conference is in the other region.
You have the alumni meet this weekend, then you have the wave races with Colby, right? So it's kind of a nice sort of soft landing a bit before you get into real competition, I suppose.
Yeah, and like clearly we sort of set ourselves up that way. What's interesting is this year, so we've been doing that wave race since I've been here, which is now my 17th year, which is like hard to believe we've been doing that for so long, because it's like, no, we just got here, all of us. But Bowdoin's coming for the first time this year. They have a new coach and we invited them to come to the wave race, so that will be fun to do a little like CBB thing at the beginning of the year, different distance, different course, and sort of get our feet wet and meet each other. You're gonna run against those Bowdoin and Colby people so many times, so it's sort of fun to start off on like a, like, hey, we're all doing the same thing, and then it definitely gets more competitive from there.
Great. Well, any other thoughts you want to share about the upcoming season and perhaps the alumni meet specifically?
No, well, it's not too late to sign up. So you can do that. It's not too late to run virtually. We'll take anyone, and we also take all track people, track and fields. You don't have to just be a cross country alum, you can be a track and field alum. We'll take you, we take parents, we'll take kids, we take dogs. So whoever wants to, if you want to be on campus, you need a mask and you need to sign up. If you want to do it virtually, you just have to send us an Instagram or an email and we'll see you there.
Next time on the Bates Bobcast, we'll continue previewing our fall sports seasons with the field hockey, volleyball, and football teams. Stick with the Bobcast all fall as we keep you updated on the long-awaited return to competition. Catch you next week on the Bates Bobcast. Bates,